professionalism get in the way of real life? We eat, and we talk about people and things, not necessarily in complimentary terms. Mo explains what it's like to be married to a New York lawyer, and I commiserate, and she asks me what it's like to live with a manic-depressive psycho bitch from hell, and evidently she's been talking to Pinky and Brains about things, because I find myself describing my relationship with Mary with sufficient detachment that it might as well be over. Ancient history. And she nods and asks if running into Mary in accounts and payroll isn't embarrassing, and this leads to a long discourse on how working for the laundry is about as embarrassing as things can get, from the paperclip audits to the crazy internal billing system, and about how I hoped that getting into field ops would get me out from under Bridget's thumb, but no such luck. And Mo explains about tenure-track backbiting politics in small American university departments, and about why you can kiss your career goodbye if you publish too much, as well as too little, and about the different ways in which a dual-income, no-kiddies couple can self-destruct so messily that I'm left thinking maybe Mary isn't that unusual after all. We end up walking back to the hotel arm in arm, and under a broken street lamp she stops, wraps her arms around me, and kisses me for what feels like half an hour. Then she rests her chin on my shoulder, beside my ear. "This is so good," she whispers. "If only we weren't being followed." I tense. I don't like being watched," she says, and we let go of each other simultaneously. "Me neither." I glance round and see a lone guy on the street behind us, looking in the window of a closed shop, and all the romance flees the evening like gas from a punctured balloon. Shit. "Let's just go back, hole up and wait for morning." "I guess." We start moving again and she takes my hand. "Great evening out. Try it again sometime?" I smile back at her, feeling both regret and optimism. "Yeah. Without the audience." We reach the hotel, share a last drink, and head for our separate rooms. I dream of wires, dark landscape, cold mud. Something screams in the distance. Lumpy shapes strung up on barbed wire stretched before the fortress. The screams get louder, and there's a rumbling and crashing, and somewhere in the process I become aware that I'm not dreaming. Someone is screaming, while I lie in bed halfway between sleeping and waking. I'm on my feet almost before I realize I'm awake. I grab a t-shirt and jeans, somehow slide my feet into both legs simultaneously, and I'm out the door within 10 seconds. The corridor is silent and dim, the only lighting coming from the overhead emergency strips. It's narrow, too, and by night the pastel-painted walls form a claustrophobic collage of grey-on-black shadows. Silence. Then another scream, muffled, coming from upstairs. It's definitely human, and it doesn't sound like anything you'd expect to hear from a hotel room at night. I pause for a moment, feeling silly as I consider that particular possibility, then duck back into my room and grab the multi-tool and the palm top I've left atop the dresser. Now I head for the staircase. Another scream, and I take the steps two at a time. A door opens behind me, a tousled head poking out and mumbling, "I'm trying to sleep." The hair on my arms stands on end. The stair rail is glowing a faint eerie blue. Sparks sting my bare feet as I climb, and the handle of the fire door at the top of the stairs gives me a nasty shock. Air sighs past me, a thin breeze blowing along the corridor, where blue flickering outlines the doorframes in darkness. Another scream, and this time a thudding noise, then a muffled crash. I hear a door slam somewhere below me, then the shattering whine of a fire alarm going off. Mo is in the Plato suite. That's where the screams are coming from, where the wind blows. I hit the door with my shoulder as hard as I can, and bounce.
"What is going on?"
I glance round. A middle-aged woman, thin-faced and worried. "Fire alarm!" I yell. "I heard screaming in here. Can you get help?" She steps forward, waving a big bunch of keys. She must be the concierge.
"Allow me."
She turns the door handle and the key, and the door slams open inward as a gust of wind grabs us both and tries to yank us into the room. I grab her arm and brace my feet against the doorframe. Now there's a scream right in my ear, but she grabs my wrist with another hand and I wrestle her back into the corridor. A howling gale is blowing through the doorway, as if someone's punched a hole in the universe. I risk a glance round it and see a hotel bedroom in chaos and disarray, wardrobe tumbled on the floor, bedclothes strewn everywhere, all the hallmarks of a fight or a burglary or something. But where in my room there's another door and then a cramped bathroom, here there's a hole. A hole with lights on the other side of it that cast sharp shadows across the damaged furniture. Stars, harsh and bright against the darkness of a flat alien landscape shrouded in twilight. I pull my head back and gasp into the woman's ear. Get everybody out of here! Tell them it's a fire! I'll get help! She's half doubled over from the wind, but she nods and stumbles toward the staircase. I turn to follow, shocked, half dazed. Where the hell have the watchers gone? We're supposed to be under surveillance, damn it! I look back toward the bedroom for a final glance through that opening that shouldn't be there. The wind batters at my back, a gale howling past my ears. The opening is the size of a large pair of doors, ragged bits of lath and wallpaper showing where the small gate ripped through the wall. Beyond it, rolling ground, deep cold. A valley with a still lake beneath the icy, unwinking stars that form no constellations I can recognize. Something dim frosts the sky. At first I think it's a cloud, but then I recognize the swirl. The arms of a giant spiral galaxy raised above a dim landscape not of this world. I'm freezing. The wind is trying to rip me through the doorway and carry me into the alien landscape. And there's no sign of Mo, nor of her abductor. She's in there somewhere, that's for sure. Whoever, whatever opened it, was waiting for her to go to bed when we came back to the hotel. They left fragments of their geometry inscribed in bloody runes on the walls and floor. They'll have planned this, taken her for their own purposes. A hand grabs my arm. I jerk round. It's Alan, looking just as much like a schoolteacher as ever, wearing an expression that says the headmaster is angry. His other hand is wrapped around the grips of a very large pistol. He bends close and yells, "Let's get the fuck out of here!" No argument. He pulls me toward the fire door, and we make